decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Oh, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. I won't turn back. I won't turn back.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you could remain standing, Sister Greeley's going to come and teach tonight. Praise the Lord. Open the word of the Lord for us. We love you, Sister Greeley. How many love Sister Greeley? Amen.
Thank you. I love you all too. And it's all, isn't it just wonderful? It's all because of Jesus. None of us would know each other if it wasn't for Jesus. And God is so good. He puts such good people in our path, in our family. I'm just, God is so good. God is wonderful. Oh, okay, where to start tonight? First, I'm going to go ahead and give you out handouts. Of course, every time we have handouts, I think of Sister Janie. She likes these things. But I have to explain tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. For whatever reasons, there is no title on these. It went black. There's two black. At least it comes up on the screen. Oh, you don't have it on the screen yet. The title of my message tonight are failures and forgiveness. So you're going to have to put that in there. And then on the back side, it did the same thing on the last slide. It blacked it out. And I tried and tried. I know, I tried and tried to figure out what is going on. And I printed it again and again. And anyway, that's what you get, folks. That's what you get. Just yeah. I was getting too stressed at that time. It's just quit. We're going to just print what we got and go with that. That's what we're going to do. So, praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, James, for bringing that up for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There we go. It looks nice on the screen, doesn't it? Failures and forgiveness. That's what it's supposed to look like on your paper. So go ahead and fill that in. That's what you got your pens for, right? Go ahead and fill that in. And yeah, everything else did, I think. I know some of the print is going to be kind of small. You might have to get out your magnifying glass, but you can take it home with you and you got something to take home. That is all I have. So you might, each family might have to share. I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that at first. Yeah. We'll get through this. How many more need it? We could go make some more copies if we need it. Yeah, I think it's... Everybody set? Not really? Oh. Okay, raise your hand if you want a copy and you don't have one. Okay, there's one, two. Oh, Sister Janie didn't even get one. Oh, somebody give Sister Janie one. Sister Kim. We can make more copies. I think the copier in the office is working, so we... Somebody go make a copy. Oh, okay, we got it. Never mind. Sorry for all the confusion, everybody. Anyway. Yep. Yeah, happens for a reason. God is so good on that. Things, I'm sure all of you have situations that you could testify about how you know that God put everything in order for you. Not for my notes, but last summer when I took my dad home to Bayfield, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if I was going to be able to find anybody to stay with them. You know, I'd been looking and looking and just thinking, oh, God, you're going to send somebody at the last minute. You know, that would be wonderful. Well, he did send somebody, but it wasn't to stay with Dad. It was somebody to rent his house. And this girl, she was going through a lot of troubles, and she was just really looking for like a new start, and a friend of hers had told her about my dad's place that had been empty during the past few winters. You know, maybe they'll rent it out to you. And, you know, she came and talked to me just weeks before I went to Wisconsin, and then everything just fell in place. It was just amazing how God does that. And then the same thing with when Pastor went into the hospital, it was like, God just put the right people at the right time everywhere that we needed it. You know, we don't have to fear, do we? We don't have to fear. And I'm so thankful for that. So, tonight's message is on failure and forgiveness. And it's just going to be a reminder just of how good Jesus has been to us. We've been going over this in Sunday school class, so some of you are going to go, oh, we just did that. You're going to recognize some of the stuff that were the verses and the things that we've been going through. How forgiveness is such an important thing in our life. We need forgiveness, and we also have to forgive others. And before we really get into the whole thing, let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, thank you, thank you for letting us be here tonight, my Jesus. Oh, my God, how good you have been, Lord Jesus. Your love and your mercies towards us, Jesus, of how you, God, of how you love us so much and how you're going to lead and guide us, Jesus, each and every one of us on the path that we're on. And we can trust you, Lord Jesus. We can trust, Lord, that you are there in even when we can't see the problem and we can't see the answer, God, you're there and you are willing to lead us through. You are there to bring us through all the good times and the bad times. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your forgiveness, even in our failures, Lord. We love you and praise you, Jesus. And you can be seated. So, like I said, we've been working on going through this the past few weeks, the month of June, in Sunday school. And our verse for this month was Matthew chapter 6. That would be slide 2. If you go to slide 2. Oh, no, can't hardly see it. Anyway, that's why it's on your paper, so you can see it there, too. Yeah, so Matthew 6. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So this is how important forgiveness really is. You know, a lot of people that don't know God, they just say, I'll never forgive them. Never forgive them, and just hold that anger and that hurt in their heart, in their lives, forever. I mean, I know of one certain person that he's in his 70s now, and his mom and dad got divorced when he was 18, and he said he'd never forgive them, and he hasn't. And his life has been miserable. It's just a horrible way to live. To live in unforgiveness. But this is important. You know, it is important to those out in the world, but it's even more important to us as Jesus' followers. So, I'm just going to lay a little bit of foundation. We're going to start at the word respect. Respect. How does the dictionary define respect? To show honor, to value, to be thoughtful about, to have regard for, to hold in esteem, to be considerate of. That's respect. In a kid's version, I guess you could call it being nice. Being nice. On the next screen, I kind of broke it down a little bit more just to kind of think on it, slow down and really think on it. Respect is to show honor, showing honor. As a Christian, of course, we want to do that. We want to show honor to the Lord. We want to show honor to our church family. We want to show honor to everyone. To respect means to value, that you're going to value things. You're going to value your relationships. You're going to value what God has done in your life. You're going to value, that's respect. To be thoughtful about, another form of respect, to be thoughtful about it, not to be careless in the things that you do, but to be thoughtful. Because when we're careless, of course, it affects other people. It's not just you. It's what you do, what you think. I think Brother Rumpf even mentioned that, was it last night, about how our lives do affect other people. The things that we do affect. So we have to be thoughtful about it. We have to have regard for one another. We have to hold. Respect is to hold in esteem, lifting up one another. Not, again, that idea of it's not all about me. It's about God, His church, the lost. It's not all about me. And respect also means to be considerate of. So we're going on to slide 4. In slide 3, if you would just notice, those were the things that we want people to treat us that way, right? All those things. We want them to honor, to value, to be thoughtful about, regard our feelings, regard us, esteem us, be considerate of us. Well, breaking these down, breaking out the ideas of respect, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 areas of respect. I came across a family counselor. His name is Dr. Paul Jenkins. His wife and him do some family counseling, and they break respect down into these 3 categories up here, up on the screen, 3 categories. Respect those in authority, respect others and yourself, and respect property. If you do that, you're going to have a good life. You're going to be blessed. If you do those 3 things, respect those in authority, respect others and yourself, and respect property. In slide 5, if you're teaching children how to get along in life, Dr. Jenkins says that all the reasons for discipline can fit into those 3 categories. If they back down, let's go back to slide 4, I'm sorry. If they back talk to mom, they would be disrespecting their authority. If they push their sister, they would disrespect others. If they complain of how they can never do anything right in their own mind, I just can't do anything right. I'm just such a failure. Well, you're disrespecting yourself. Think about it. If you're talking those bad things to yourself, you're disrespecting yourself. Would you talk like that to your best friend? If you're having all these negative thoughts in your mind, would you be talking like that to your best friend? If a little kid is coloring on the wall, what are they doing? Disrespecting property. That's what they are. So again, in a child's terms, respect is being nice one to another. Just be nice. Well, God also gave us a list. In slide 6, the 10 Commandments. And all these can fit in the be nice categories also. If we follow these lists, we are going to be blessed. We really will be blessed. Because respect really is the whole frame of the 10 Commandments. Respect authority, respect yourself and others, respect property. If we go back down through these here, respecting authority would be commandment 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Respecting authority of God, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto yourself any idols. That's having respect towards God. You're not going to take his name in vain, not cursing, respecting God. Remember the Sabbath day, a day to worship him. That would be honoring your authority. And then number five, the big one, honor your father and mother, respecting authority. That the Ten Commandments are all about respect. How about respecting others and yourself? Can anybody figure them out? Which commandments? James, yes. Six would be one, yep. Respecting others and yourself. Anybody? You're all thinking quietly. Right. It could be a few different ways. It could be a few. Yeah, what would you say, brother? Right, that's right. You're respecting yourself and others. If you, right, it's part of resting. Right, I didn't even think about that one. I put number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 as respecting others and yourself. Because again, if you treat others nicely, Lord willing, they're going to treat you nice too. How about, hopefully, respecting property. Now, property I'm categorizing or defining as something that belongs to someone else. So that's why I put number 7 in there as respecting property. Number 6, you shall not murder. You have to, that's not your life. You have to respect somebody else's life. You shall not commit adultery. Respect that relationship. That's not your relationship. Stay out of it. You shall not steal. Respect other people's stuff. Respect it. Don't lie. I guess that's more of a respect the truth, yes. And respecting others and yourself would be 9. And you shall not covet. That's, again, respecting yourself and others. Not being jealous of everybody, that'll help you if you're not jealous all the time, right? If you're content with what you have, God's going to help you, right? So, okay, so going on from there, I think a lot of you know this one. Jesus boiled them down to just 2 commandments. All the 10 commandments boiled down to 2. Anybody want to give me the 2? You know these. Come on, guys. You know these. Okay, give them the verse. Go ahead. Up there. There it is in Mark. And I'm sorry you can't read it, so look at your paper. Yes. In Mark chapter 12, 28 through 31, it says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.'" How Jesus was able to just boil it down. Having respect for God, for authority, yourself and others, and property. If you do those things, you'll be doing well. Now, so these are our guidelines. The 10 commandments, having these ideas of authority and respect. Just love Jesus and be nice to everyone, right? That's the way it should be. Have you ever heard anybody say, "Can't we just all get along? Can't we just all be nice one to another?" And when this world is just going crazy, right? And everybody's mad at everybody. Everybody's got something to say bad about somebody else. And can't we just get along? Well, The problem is that our basic natural fleshly selves just don't want to be nice. We're all very selfish. So, not that you really want to look at this, but let's go to slide 8. Here's our list of failures. If you look at your paper, boy, I'm glad I gave you these papers. This is how our flesh acts. Selfish, angry, lying, jealous, gossip, cursing, disobedient, cruelty, hatred, bragging, rudeness, lust, unforgiveness, wickedness, complaining, unloving, fighting. Was that a mom I heard say that? Fighting, stealing, ungratefulness, witchcraft, insulting, greedy, pride, lack of control, idolatry. Does that sound like our world today? Boy, it does. You just turn on the television for any newscast, it seems, and a bunch of those are going to pop up on it. On your little 3-minute clip of some sort of news, you're going to get a bunch of those in there, right there. Because that's the world. That's the world, and that's our flesh. All of us have to deal with all of those things up there. All of us. If we say that we've never, well, I guess we could say I've never been in witchcraft. I know of witchcraft, and I have. When I was a teenager, there was a little bit of messing around with it, but really, all of us can categorize ourselves at one point in our life at one of those things. We really can. So, in the Bible, Galatians chapter 5, that gives us a flesh failure list. Yeah, say that 5 times. Flesh failure list. Galatians 5, 19, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. You know what that such like is? Anything that's mentioned or not mentioned in that list that would be worldly or fleshly. He's finishing out the list and such like. Anything that I didn't mention that should be in that list. That's what he's saying. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things, this is the part that we should really get our ears pricked up to. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Whoa. Here again, this is why forgiveness is so important. Our repentance, coming to God, is so important. Because if we keep these things that we've been talking about in our heart without repentance, we can't get into the kingdom of God. That's how important it is. It is so important. We just have to get away from these, all these fails in our life, all these things that we bring and then cause either ourselves to fail or someone else to fail. We just have to get rid of them. We all have to deal with it. In Psalm 53, the next slide, it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." We were all there, folks. I'm so thankful that for God's forgiveness. I'm so thankful for what he's done. He didn't leave us there. He knew all about our weaknesses. He knew all about our failures. And yet he didn't want to leave us there. He's not a God that turns his back on his people. Now his people will turn their back. And he will. There will be a judgment time. I'm not saying that there won't be. There is going to be a judgment time that God is going to judge those that have totally rejected him. But those of us that are trying to walk with him and trying to turn to him, he will not forsake. He will not. And God's whole idea of saving these people from their failures, I've got to go save them because there's nobody else in the world that can do it. There's nobody else perfect, nobody else that can do what I can do, what God could do for us. In John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't want to come to say, you're just all a bunch of sinners. But that the world through him might be saved. Oh, what a hope. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And then in Revelation 1:5, it's 5b, the last part of Revelation 1:5, it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, what a God we have. Jesus, I thank you, God, for what you've done, Jesus. Thank you for looking down on us, Jesus, and forgiving us for all of our failures, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, you've been so good to us, Jesus. You are the one that pulled us up from the pit of sin, Lord Jesus. You're the one that looked past all of our failures. Oh, and gave us hope, Lord Jesus, God, to save us and to give us a new life, Jesus. I'm so thankful for that, God. Oh, your wonderful love, your wonderful love. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He did. He came to rescue us, and it's his love for us that he forgives us. It's his love. Our God loves us so much, and he changes us from failures to forgiven. It really is. It's living in all of that sin, we're complete failures, but God can take us out and give us forgiveness, and now we are walking in forgiveness. Kind of switching a little bit, we're going to go to slide 12. Next time I do a PowerPoint, I'm definitely going to have to make the print bigger. Anyway, somebody recognized that line, right? Oh, now you're telling your age. 1970s. I was back from the 70s. Anybody guess where that line came from? Oh, you know. It wasn't a song. It was a movie back then, back in the 70s. Love Story. Love Story back in the 70s. Well, I was just a young kid back then, and I don't remember watching the whole movie, but of course, you know, through school, all these different memes or ideas go through, you know, and you see the advertisements and you hear the clips and everything. And I actually wrote that down when I was a young teenager, you know, love means never having to say you're sorry. Oh, how wonderful, right? But the more that I started thinking about it, even as a kid, I realized it just can't be done. This cannot be done. This is just a false statement. Because if you just ask yourself, is there a love that's really that perfect? I mean, other than God, other than Jesus. Is there a love that's perfect? No. Is there anyone who would never hurt your feelings? Get real, folks. You're gonna get hurt, right? Is there anyone who would never disrespect you? No. So this statement, love means never having to say you're sorry. Well, yes, in the true form of God, yes. But as humans, even as forgiven humans, we need to learn how to say we're sorry because we are going to mess up. Even if you love someone very much, there's going to be a time that you either get your feelings hurt or hurt their feelings. There's going to be a time that you walk in disrespect or you get disrespected. And there's going to have to be that forgiveness. There's got to have, we just have to walk in forgiveness. So, of course, again, Jesus is the one that can do this, and he does. Thank you, Lord. That he never has to say he's sorry because his ways are perfect and his love is perfect. But now the thing is that he's called us as his followers to a higher calling. And that will be slide 13. Where are we? Slide 13. Oh, I'm sorry, folks. Good thing you have your papers or your Bible. You can look it up in your Bible. It looked nice on my computer when I was doing it, but sorry. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, and this is in Jesus's red letters up there. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Wow. Loving your enemy. Wow. God really has called us to a higher calling, hasn't he? And so the world is full of fleshly, disrespectful people, but they still love those that love them. Godless people still love their family. There's godless people that still love others and do very good things for other people. But God is good even to those who disrespect him. All those people that say there isn't even a God, they won't even acknowledge him at all. God still lets the sun come up every day. He still lets the seasons go in their process. He still lets food be available for them. He still takes care in so many ways, even when they aren't noticing, when they aren't recognizing, when they don't deserve it, God still comes through. And that kind of love, it can only come from God. We know that. It can only come from God. It's not in us because we're grouped in with all of those fleshly, natural people that have been forgiven. So we have all those things in us too that we have to fight and let God's love work through us. So in the next slide, Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 13. Now you will have to read it off your paper here because because it's in the easy read version. And I just like the way this sounded today. Get out your maybe your camera. If you put your camera up to that page and expand it some, you can see it. Oh, I'm so sorry. Anyway, I will read it for you. Paul is saying, I may speak in different languages, whether human or even of angels, but if I don't have love, I'm only a noisy bell or a ringing cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy. I may understand all secrets and know everything there is to know. And I may have faith so great that I can move mountains. But even with all this, if I don't have love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have to help others. And I may even give my body as an offering to be burned. But I gain nothing by doing all of this if I don't have love. And what kind of love is God talking about here? Not the lustly love or anything. This is the agape love. And love is patient and kind. Now we're getting into the point of respect. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. Ten Commandments? It doesn't brag and it's not proud. Love is not rude, it's not selfish, and it cannot be made angry easily. Love does not remember wrongs done against it. Love is never happy when others do wrong, but it's always happy with the truth. Stand for the truth. Love never gives up on people. It never stops trusting, never loses hope, and never quits. Love will never end. I mean, that's such a wonderful description of what God does for us, but he's called us to a higher calling, a higher place. But he's not going to tell us to do something that we can't do without his help. He's going to help us to do this. If he's called us to it, then he's going to help us do it. In the next slide, it says 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It went on from, we read 1 Corinthians 13, and then it goes on to the next chapter. I just love this part. Love should be the goal of your life. How about everybody read that together? Love should be the goal of your life. But you should also want to have the gifts that come from the Spirit. God's Spirit. We got to walk in the Spirit, right? And I like this part here. And the gift you should want most is to be able to prophesy. Now, I put the definition in there too. Definition of to foretell events, divine. Speak under inspiration. Exercise the prophetic office. So for a lay person or just somebody, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, God can touch you through the Holy Ghost to speak under inspiration, to prophesy, to tell others about what God has done, to tell others about the goodness of God. You can speak under inspiration. So, and you're going to let the love of God flow through you, and then you're going to, you might not know everything about the Bible. None of us does. But what you do know, pass it on, right? Pass it on. Okay, so this was the lead in to these last couple, or this last slide. There was a song that Matthew West wrote about 10 years ago. A lot of you probably know it. It was called Forgiveness. It's been on my song list for probably 10 years, and I listen to it every now and then. And then, but I didn't know what the background was to that story. I didn't find out until 2 weeks ago what the real background story of that was. So we're going to end tonight with, we're going to watch the story behind the song Forgiveness by Matthew West. We're going to discuss it. Guys up there, we're going to discuss it before we go into the song, okay? And so let's go, if you have that up, just go ahead and play that. We're only going to watch about 2.5 minutes of it. It's an amazing story. amazing, amazing story.
Over the past few years, I've been on this journey of writing songs inspired by the real life stories that people sent to me. This one story in particular has had a profound impact on me. It hit me kind of hard. It's about a woman who did the impossible, and it made me ask myself if I could do the same. Renee had four kids. Two of her daughters were twins. Megan was coming home from the beach one night with her best friend when their car was struck by a drunk driver named Eric, a 24-year-old kid. Megan lost her life. Eric killed both girls that were in the car. Renee lost her daughter in an instant. Next thing she knows, she finds herself in a courtroom watching this young man, this 24-year-old man, get sentenced to 22 years in prison. Renee wrote to me and said, "I now have a mission that I never would have chosen." What she meant by that is that in the years that follow, she began to travel around to schools and churches and different functions, and she would speak about the dangers of drunk driving. But as the years progressed, she felt like something was missing from her presentations. And that's when God put it on her heart that she had not forgiven this man who took the life of her daughter. And so she reached out and did the impossible. She reached out to Eric in prison and said, "I forgive you." The ripple effects of that act of forgiveness are still being felt today. That young man's life was absolutely changed because this woman forgave him. He said, "I can't even forgive myself, and she forgave me." Eric said he found his eternal salvation as a result of this act. One by one, all of Renee's family members followed her lead, and they reached out and expressed forgiveness to Eric. So much so that now they describe Eric as part of their family, like a son to Renee. The story doesn't stop there, though. Renee went to the courts along with her family, and she was able to have Eric's sentence cut in half from 22 years to 11 years. This blew me away. The reason she did it is so that Eric could have a second chance at life and so that he could join her in their presentations. She told me that now she shares not only about the dangers of drunk driving, but also about the power of forgiveness.
Now the story.
Talk about a story, huh? Wow. Just think how hard it would be to do what she did. You know, a lot of us in our own life, things that we feel like we've had to forgive different people for and stuff, you might forgive them in your prayer closet. Say, "Yes, God, I forgive them. Yes, I forgive them." And we talked about that in our class, too, about how Jesus called us to forgive 70 times 7. You know, and that's a process of, if it comes to our mind and it starts building up in our heart again, then we need to forgive again and again and again, those kind of things. But what impressed me so much about this situation is that they went to him and said, "I forgive you." They just didn't leave it as a prayer. They actually went to him and said, "I forgive you for this." And then talk about going and working, talking to the judges, trying to get this young man's sentence cut in half. What a sign of forgiveness, right? Isn't that what God does for us, what he does for us? You know, he didn't just leave us and say, "Okay, well, now you have to take care of everything by yourself," but he would help us to get out of the different situations that we were in. So Jesus has given us his spirit to do great works, and I would consider this as being a great work. So forgiveness truly is a chain breaker, not just for the one that you're against, but also for yourself, because it's going to break the chains for you also. So while you're sitting, we're going to listen to this song, and I would hope that, you know, just pray through the song. The words are going to come up, and then we'll just pray after that. So go ahead and do the song.
Thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. In the face of all your pride, it moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Prisoner free, there is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
I pray, God, that you help us, Lord. Oh, with your grace and your mercy to those around us, Jesus. Oh, to remember where we came from, Lord Jesus. To remember, God, and know what you've done for us, Jesus. God, to pass on your grace, to pass on your love, your mercy to those around us, Jesus. Holy and wonderful and mighty are you, my God. I thank you. I love you. I praise you, Jesus. Oh, glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name, Jesus. Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, if there's someone in your life, it just seems so hard to forgive them because they've done it again and again and again and again and again. God will help you. God will help you to do the forgiveness, and then you'll see what God can do. Oh, what he can do, what he can do. And, of course, this is an individual heart thing. This is something that God needs to do in each and every one of us, in our hearts. But this is how God's going to build his church. When people start seeing that forgiveness and that love that we as God's people give to one another and give to those that don't deserve it, that's how the church is going to grow. And that's where we're all at. So let's just go ahead and pray one more time before we're dismissed. Lord Jesus, oh, I am just, oh, my God, your love, your love, your love for mankind. God, you came not to condemn, but you came to save. Lord Jesus, help us, God, to be your hands and your feet and your mouthpiece, God, to bring salvation to those that don't deserve it, Jesus. God, those that have turned from you, those that maybe have backslid, maybe those that have just never heard you and have been so against you, God. Help us, Lord, to connect with them. Help us, Lord Jesus. We love you and thank you, God. Oh, you are wonderful. You are glorious, Jesus. There is none like you, my God. Oh, we lift you up. We give you glory. We give you honor, Jesus. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. You are wonderful, Jesus. Oh, thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, oh. Turn to one another as we leave tonight and just tell them how much you love them, how good God's been. And you are dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen.